Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, it's Garth Crooks here. I'm looking forward to seeing many of you at the Spurs Show Christmas Party on December the 2nd at the 100 Club, alongside my old striking partner, Steve Archibald. I suppose I'll be doing all the work again.
Come and see Crooks and Archibald in their first Central London appearance together since hanging up their Spurs boots 35 years ago. Spurs Show season ticket holders get an automatic ticket with priority entry, with tickets also available at live.spursshow.net. No one does Christmas like the Spurs Show, except perhaps Bing Crosby and Jesus. Get your tickets at live.spursshow.net or get free entry to all our live Spurs shows at season.spursshow.net.
Everybody around the world, and welcome to another Spurs Show. It's Theo Delaney here in the centre of London. Very excited because, of course, we're coming to you on the back of an excellent victory. Thank goodness. I've got three esteemed guests all returning tonight to help me through tonight's packed agenda. To my right, I've got Mark Lucero.
Oh, hello. My debut for the season.
For the season,
for
I was going to say.
Game, yeah, first you game are, of the season.
You are what
for
you
me,
might
I'm
call.
Fit, I'm fit.
You're fit, you're match fit?
Yeah,
despite you've had a few trials and tribulations getting here, haven't you?
Yes, a bit. I was
nearly
trapped had, on the
you nearly
on the
fought your way out of a packed train carriage.
Yeah. It was, not good, but I'm here.
Good. Nathan Koski's here. How are you?
I'm great. Like Serge Aurier, I nearly left in the summer, but I'm back this week.
Thank goodness for that.
Yeah.
Just in the same way that we're relieved Serge stayed, we're very relieved you stayed too, Nathan. And Dan Friedman is here. How are you, Dan?
Yeah, very good. Very happy
Welcome
to be here.
Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
So, lads, we've got lots to talk about here. We'll probably do it in chronological order, I think, which enables us to start with the happy task of discussing Saturday's... Mark's actually starting to clap. Saturday's excellent and bloody very welcome, you might say long overdue, big victory against Crystal Palace. I mean, where do we be? It was absolutely joyous, wasn't it? That first half was an immense relief. What did you make of it, Mark?
It was a complete relief. They had a free kick early on, and I was starting to wobble off.
You thought, here we go.
Do you remember? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was superb. Aurier had his best game in a Tottenham shirt, I think.
Yeah.
I think. That header, he won a header over on the touchline that went forward that led to one of the goals,
right.
Which is superb.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, the two assists.
Yeah.
I mean, just fantastic.
Well, they almost gave him the goal. The announcer gave him the goal, didn't they? It was a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was outstanding. Nathan, what do you make of it?
Yeah, I think as you went into this game, it had all the makings of this being a Spurs show, podcast crisis show.
Yeah.
Because if we'd sort of lost on the weekend, then, you know, it would have been a tough week, a tough start. I think it was a bit of a season-defining week
Absolutely.
This week.
Absolutely, pivotal moment.
Pivotal week with Saturday's game and then tomorrow night's game, I think it sets the tone for the rest of the season. So the first part of that has been hurdled over like we haven't done for a while, so it was great.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about you. What do you think, Dan, about... I was certainly in quite a pessimistic... I actually went on the radio on TalkSport on the Saturday morning, TalkSport 2, and they said, how optimistic are you feeling? I said, not particularly. I think we might get through, but I think it could be a horrible ordeal because it felt like we were back in those days where you play teams like that and really struggle to break them down. What frame of mind did you find yourself in?
Yeah, I mean, the game against Newcastle was AVB style, wasn't
yeah.
it? Very, very stodgy.
Mm.
And then the game on the weekend was like when we were really good, two or three years ago, when teams from outside the top six would come and we would blow them away in the first 20, 30 minutes and then decide how much we wanted to do in the second half.
Yeah.
So I think we were all absolutely very happily shocked.
What do you put down to, I mean, this malaise that we were suffering, do you think, what do you think it was all about? And secondly, do you think it's, how much do you think it's now over?
I think it's all about Poch and his state of mind.
Mm.
I think the whole club on the field has been a reflection of his spirits and how beautiful they've been for the last 4 or 5 years.
Mm.
And then he's clearly, despite... the beautiful aberration of the Champions League, not been happy for some time, including obviously the closing of the transfer window, European transfer window, which he was very upset with. And then he seems to have, in his own mind, drawn a line under it until January.
Mm.
And everyone played in that same spirit. There's a new leaf that's been turned over, personified with Aurier, obviously.
Mm.
And so I think the collective will now is to say, let's try and get back to what we know we can do, referencing our, how good we were 2-3 years ago.
I think you're spot on. There's been something going on behind the scenes which hasn't seemed right. I think we've all seen it because it's been gone on a while. Nobody knows really what it is, and there's all sorts of stuff and coming and going and players coming and going, but we haven't quite had that chemistry, is the word I used. And I think it felt like it was back, and I hope that, as you say, there's a line drawn, players are there. Hopefully it doesn't start again in January and what have you. But it felt like there was a chemistry back. I still don't know if he knows his... I think he's tried to evolve the formation and it hasn't quite worked. And I think there's still a bit of settling down to do. Over the last few years, you kind of knew what the formation was. If one player came out, who was coming in? And I don't think they're quite settled in that yet. But as you say, hopefully the state of mind is back, because it felt like it on the weekend.
Well, he said you can't focus 100% on the football. Well, there were four players whose contract, and then you had Jan sitting in the stands the other week when he was fit.
Yeah, that's
and said he was fit in the press. There's something not wrong there. There were four players, but it all seems to have sorted itself out now.
For now. The four players are Eriksen, Vertonghen, Alderweireld and Rose, is it?
Well, Rose isn't. No, Rose, I think, has got another year.
So who's the fourth one?
Well, I thought there was a problem with Jan, wasn't there?
Yeah, Jan.
Wasn't playing
Toby,
when he was fit?
Eriksen.
And Aurier.
Oh, Aurier, okay. Yeah.
Who came up and said he had a personal problem.
Right.
But because... I mean, Sissoko looks after him. Did you see them coming out in the suits on the website?
No.
They've all got suits with black polo necks.
Oh, yeah.
And they came out last... and everyone was clapping. They were very smart.
Yeah.
But Sissoko seems to be like his uncle, his big brother, his minder. That's, but all good now.
Yeah, and obviously football, one of the funny things about football with those of us who are afflicted with it, we know that one bad defeat, and you're absolutely devastated, the whole world, but one good victory and you think everything's fine.
Hmm.
And neither, of course, is true. It's just one game. You look at the problems and they're not necessarily problems. They can all work out quite well. But those players that have been unsettled, we know we've got a window coming out in January. And they're likely now, you would have thought, if they're intent on leaving or if people don't come in for them, they were going to sign. They would have signed by now, you think, for Tottenham, I mean. So which means that they're likely, you would have thought, to wait. I mean, they can make agreements in January.
Yeah, yeah.
But they will probably leave in the summer because at that point, their worth is their own.
Yeah.
So someone like Eriksen, let's say he's worth 60 million quid, say. That 60 million quid goes to him.
Yeah.
Mm. And the same applies to Alderweireld and Vertonghen, who are worth a bit less because they're a bit younger. So though that problem has by no means gone away, the other interesting thing, totally separate issue, is the new signings, none of whom have really played any significant part. And Ndombele came on, looked okay on the...
Yeah.
And he's looked okay when he's come on. He hasn't looked amazing, but Poch has got a long history of taking his time bedding people in. Hasn't yeah. If you look at Son, it probably took him a season and a half to become really, really potent. And others have taken, you know, long period. I mean, Sissoko took, what was it, seemed like 10 or 12 years. Yes. I think it was 3 years.
Yeah,
he was having his testimonial when he finally hit four.
When he finally had a good game. I mean, so there's still any number of ponderables that we're faced with, aren't there? I mean,
my sense is that with Eriksen, Alderweireld and Vertonghen, the three Ajax players, they've kind of decided.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that they have thought, you know, we have been, I'm not saying this is right or wrong, but they've thought collectively we've been underpaid for our entire time here.
Yeah.
And so therefore we are going to sort of make a kind of group decision that the three of us are not going to re-sign a contract. Yeah. I can't really get over it, if I'm honest, in the sense that, you know, when you're in a relationship and you know it's not going to go anywhere, it takes away all the enjoyment, you know, because you think it's not yeah. there for keeps.
Yeah.
And I just, particularly with Eriksen, I just look at it and I can't get behind him. I can't enjoy the good stuff he's doing.
Yeah.
And I look at every challenge that he doesn't make and I say to myself, yeah. is he protecting himself? Even on Saturday, you know, there was someone on the edge of the area against Arsenal. He didn't close down Guendouzi. Yeah. And I just look, but Poch seems to be better than most because this has been going on a long time. And obviously when he brought Danny Rose back last year before the United game, and even with Vertonghen now, has been playing well since he's come back. He seems to be able to delineate that and say, I know you're probably going to go. And perhaps his background as a player is what helps, because you sense there's a kind of compassion there when he talks about Eriksen. And if you listen to the subtext, he's basically saying the guy wants a new challenge and I can't begrudge him that.
Right. Which is fair.
I agree. And I'm not sure I agree with that. I think we'll know in the next couple of months. I still think Vertonghen might stay.
I actually think
Alderweireld might stay.
Maybe stay.
I mean, Alderweireld might stay because for 25 million, no one's coming for him.
Yeah.
So if they give him the right
really
contract, he might stay. I think Eriksen, you're right. I think Eriksen is going. I think if Levy could have got an offer from him in the summer, he would have taken it.
Yeah, because it's the last chance.
But I think the interesting thing is nobody made that offer.
Yeah.
Even if somebody had come in lowballed at 20, 30 million, I think he'd have had to take it because the last player that we lost for free that he didn't want to go was Sol Campbell.
Yeah.
He's very, very astute. He doesn't lose players for free.
He's been brilliant at avoiding that all these years, more than any other big chairman. But suddenly it's all happening at once, isn't it?
Correct. And I think it's a little bit of... So I think that I'm not sure they've all made that pact, like you said. But I think if you wind it forward the other way and you say, right, they all go, how much have you got to spend next summer? So two world-class centre-backs and a midfielder. All right, you may say, well, we've already got Lascelles so lined up, but you still got to replace.
Who knows if he can be as good as him? I mean, who knows?
Right, so you'll find out by next summer.
Yeah.
But you've got two centre-backs that are your starting centre-backs to come in.
Two of the best in the world.
Correct.
And they're more than the sum of their parts because, 100%. Of course, they've been a partnership for so long.
So I think you'd be foolish to get rid of two. You can maybe live with getting rid of one, but I think you'd like to keep them all for a couple of years and bring someone in. So, there's a lot. It's going to be an interesting time, that's for sure.
Just one other thing. The interesting thing as well is that Tottenham have risen as a club. You know, when those players joined, we weren't the club we are now. And so, in terms of, let's say, Toby, okay, he'll go and get more money elsewhere. Will he go to a better football club than Tottenham?
Yeah.
No, but he might not be the kind of person that's looking to do that. He may be looking for money.
Yeah, because
I don't know him, but I just don't know.
It's his last big contract.
Correct.
I mean, if he's, you know,
he's on 60 grand a week, apparently, from what you read, which is for his level is probably.
He could conceivably get three times that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if he went to Paris Saint Germain or something like that, I mean, he's good enough to earn three times that.
Why didn't he go this summer for 25 million?
Because it didn't come in, as he said, I think.
Then who's going to pay him 180,000? If they're not prepared to pay 25 million, I question if a couple are prepared to pay him 200 grand a week.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
But let's see.
Yeah, strange.
I'd love them to stay.
The only thing, I mean, everything, I agree with everything everyone said apart from one thing, if you don't mind, Dan. When you said that Eriksen, every time he doesn't make a challenge, you think, oh, that's because he's leaving, he's protecting himself. He's never made a tackle the whole time he's played. He's never. He is the ultimate after you, Claude.
Yeah.
I think he once made a tackle and it looked like a complete accident.
I certainly don't think he's ever been pushed. I know what you mean. I'm being oversensitive. I just feel he's not.
It looks conspicuous because of the context.
He hasn't played the running. He's been very inconsistent for 6 months. And we know he has those phases.
Here's another thing, because early in this season, he's playing quite well.
I mean, he's not, I don't mean
in terms of diving in for tackles, but he certainly played well at the weekend. He certainly made the difference when he came on against Villa, didn't he?
Yeah. Mm. I thought it was overplayed.
Maybe it was overstated, but the thing about him is, he's a bit like, he's not one of those players, he's not George Best, you know, he's not Cristiano Ronaldo,
no.
But he's one of those players that is so classy and he's so metronomic with his passing that he keeps it. He's a bit like more like Modric than he is one of those players. And I think he makes a massive difference. And there aren't many players like that. And my one hope, and it's a sincere hope, is that if he's looking to get out on as good a contract as he can get and as big a club as he can get to at the end of next year, the one thing he's not going to do is play complacently. Because that's not going to get him where he needs to get. He didn't get there last summer. If he wants to get into one of the big Spanish clubs or Juventus or something, he's really going to have to look super good.
Yeah. It's just that kind of... I can't get behind the idea. We want him to play well for us because it's going to help him to get a better move elsewhere.
But
I take your point. You've got to do it. But I wonder whether... when you think how long it took the Real Madrid fans to get into Modric and Pau, and I'm not... Yeah. You know, when they went, you kind of felt... Yeah, they're going probably to the right level.
He was voted their worst big buy ever, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I'm not sure Eriksen... Whilst he won't come with that 100 million price tag...
No.
Yeah, we've all seen those three players. Would you rate him as any of the top three of those three?
As good as Bale or Modric?
Well, we've got Bale, Modric, Eriksen. Would you rate him three out of
third?
Yeah, third.
But I still think he's... But that's a hell of a group to be third in.
I put Berbatov in there as well, in the idea that I don't think he's so good to treat a club like Tottenham, where they are now, the way he is.
I think he's at the right club, I'll be honest.
And you might well be right, but you can't blame him for trying.
No.
He only gets one career.
No, if you're an agent these days, you know...
Not just the agent, though. It's not just money, is it? I mean... There he is. He's a very good player. He's easily the best player in Denmark and has been for like 8 years or something. And he's like, he is a star. He's played at the highest level. You've got to be, if he's not ambitious, you'd be surprised. Footballers have got to try, haven't they, to strive to be. And remember, I mean, it pains me very much to say this, but he's not lifted any kind of trophy where he is.
No, you know what? And he's put in a good service for us. So I'm not begrudging. I'm just speaking. I think.
I mean, I'm very disappointed, but I can see it from his point of view.
Absolutely. It's a shame we haven't. Yeah, like I say, shame we haven't got the 40, 50 million out of it. And then you'd say,
I think maybe his only mistake was coming. Was saying he didn't need to say what he said at the beginning of last summer, coming out and saying I want to move on to. You don't always have to say that.
That also cost the club.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
If they keep it between themselves, the club maybe get a better.
But maybe his agent said, if you put it out there,
I know him and his agent have been talking about Real Madrid since a fellow agent told me, I think about 15 months ago, they were talking about Real Madrid. So I think this has been the plan. Poch went out to Denmark to see him. Remember that in the summer before last, clearly to try and get him to sign the contract, and they just refuse. It seems point blank.
By saying it, maybe it would have forced the 20, 30 million low ball bid to come in, but it never came.
Maybe that's what they're thinking, But like you say, it may transpire that he has no options. Maybe no one will offer him more money, or more likely, the thing that would stop him going is if he gets offers from clubs that are not a better place to play. Same money, but it's like, you know, Napoli or Inter Milan.
If he wants a new challenge, and it has to be.
Yeah, if he wants
Tottenham,
to go up.
And, you know, he whittled it down to about two clubs, didn't he? I think
it's Barcelona and Real Madrid, really. Yeah, and it may be Juventus and Bayern Munich, I suppose. But
PSG.
PSG, again, prestige-wise and trophy-wise, not very
PSG,
good. Not a great league.
They're never going to win.
They're paying money, but I mean...
Maybe he'll stay.
So exactly, maybe he'll stay. Yeah, maybe that'll be the thing.
What's wrong with staying?
Yeah, well, it'll only be... Yeah, if you can't get a more prestigious place to play, then it'll only come to money. And even on the money... He might. I mean, he certainly wouldn't. He wouldn't go to PSG ahead of Tottenham unless they're going to pay him a load more money. I wouldn't have thought, or even maybe Juventus or Inter Milan. Well,
what's interesting is we started talking about has everything settled down, and we just spent the last 10 minutes talking about how those players going.
I don't think it has settled down, and maybe this is the modern game. Maybe this is just the way it is. It can never settle down.
But the worrying
thing is, like you said, Dan, is that it affects Poch, and when it affects Poch, like all interesting organisations, basically it's the, like you said, the mood and the personality of the leader will permeate the whole organisation, and Poch is a sensitive and emotional guy, and he gets affected by it, and that permeates everything.
So and it's also, a worry. We look at United managing to get De Gea tied down, managing to get Martial tied down and Rashford, even if they're not necessarily going to stay for a long time.
Yeah, you know, at least they're not going to walk
they've
out.
They've tied them down and they can move on.
Yeah.
But the Dybala thing isn't dead, apparently.
Really?
I read a lot about that in January.
That could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, he hasn't played much football since.
I mean, that would be fantastic.
20 minutes, I think.
That would be fantastic, wouldn't it? I mean, if you just swap deal with Dybala and Eriksen, you'd take that all day, wouldn't you?
Take that, yeah.
Then you'd say there's no limit to the ambitions that we should have.
Yeah, if you get someone like him, yeah, absolutely. Apparently he was keen, wasn't he? It was all to do with those shady deals, that big part ownership and image rights and stuff like that, which is so complicated that it ends up making it not happen. But sooner or later, it's going to suit all those parties for it to happen.
If they're not playing him, then he's...
Yeah, it's crazy, yeah. Yeah.
And his wife wants to come.
Yeah, she's desperately keen because she's a fashion model.
Can she play it right back?
You have Spurs ladies.
Yeah, whatever he wants, we'll just say yes.
Are we going to discuss Spurs ladies ever on the Spurs show?
Start now.
We're 1,000 at the Hive.
Not bad.
The 25,000 at Chelsea, though, which is a bit of a difference. Although we're playing Arsenal ladies out the lane, I hear.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah,
and I suppose.
So, have you been to see them?
I haven't. But my boxing trainer's friend plays for them,
and
she put the ball through for the pen. Actually,
oh right,
yeah.
Well, but what I don't, I mean, on the one hand, I'm slightly ashamed to say I'm not up to speed with the women's team, and I haven't been to see it.
No,
but what I would say is the profile is rising very, very, very quickly, which is a brilliant thing.
Yeah.
And people are talking about it much, much more, albeit not on the air as much as you would like, Mark. But we have talked about it a bit. Mike's quite into it. In fact, we sponsored a player. This podcast sponsored a player.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if we're still sponsoring her, but we sponsored a player for at least one season, maybe two. Paul Kramer's very up on it, who's a regular guest on here and can wax lyrical about it. I mean, we're right behind it. And I think you're right to point it out. We should probably talk about it more because I think that it's the coming sport. Women's football, most definitely.
Definitely.
But for now, we're going to take a quick break. Okay, I'm back. We're back. We're all back in the room, and I've got some things to inform the listeners of before we start talking about two mouthwatering upcoming games. I should remind you all that you can join now at season.spursshow.net for just £10 a month for two tickets for each of our monthly live events that we have in central London, which are always brilliant. We've got September the 23rd coming up soon, Phil Beale. On the 29th, we've got Dave Tossell, who's done a great book about Jimmy Greaves. He's got lots to tell us. November the 6th, we've got Graham Roberts at the Beehive, N17. So we're doing an away game in a manner of speaking, although it's more like a home game because it's right there in Tottenham. N17 with Graham Roberts, the great Graham Roberts. Then on December the 2nd, we've got one of our legendary Christmas parties, which are always fantastic. And I'm so excited to remind everyone that we've got Crooks and Archibald. Crooks and Archibald, my actual favourite double act. They even might pip Laurel and Hardy, I think, to my favourite double act of all time. And they are on. Christmas tickets are now available at live.spursshow.net. But get your season ticket and you'll get, I think you get special privileges there as well, even for the big Christmas show. And of course, your season ticket gets you and somebody else in every month at the live events and it costs £10 a month. Something else, the Match Pint Predictor League. I was particularly keen to mention this because this is the Spurs Show Match Pint Predictor League. All you have to do is you get the free Match Pint app and you join our league using the code SPURS. And the reason I was particularly keen to mention it this week is that sitting atop of the league,
I've heard.
It's not a fix. It is not a fix. It's me. I am top of the league with 240 points. Danny Feldman's right up there. Mark Evans and John Allen, they're all joint second on 230 points. Do join. It's great. We do predictions every week, obviously, and we get points. And it's highly competitive. But also that app is really good because it tells you wherever you are in the world, you just click into it, wherever you, and it'll tell you all the nearest pubs where you can watch football and other sport, actually, and which ones are good and what they've got, what beer they have, etc. It's very good. Finally, for additional premium Spurs show content, including a daily Spurs news show, match reports, interviews with ex-players, and much more, sign up at patreon.com facebook.com/Spurs Show. Now available, revealing interviews with Don McAllister, remember him well. Mm-hmm. Ian Walker, certainly remember him well. I'm not going to say that after every name, we'll be all night. But Jimmy Holmes, John Duncan, Mike Varney, Colin Lee, Eric Torsfett, John Duncan again. Two John Duncans. Alfie Conn. Oh, Alfie Conn, what an absolute legend. Pat Vandenhout, a bit scary. Plus an old That Day series and a new show from Paolo Hewitt, looking at the history of Terrace Chance. And new material being added weekly. Why not try it for a month? So, as I said, next week our guest is Phil Beale on the live show. By the way, Mike added a note this week when he gives me all these things to remind everyone of. And he also added a note. Did you know that tomorrow night, the game we're about to talk about, is Pochettino's 50th game in Europe managing Tottenham? He's only five behind the great Bill Nicholson.
Wow,
gosh.
Quite something.
Yeah, unless he gets sacked, he's guaranteed to beat him.
Should be.
Hopefully not.
Yeah, I mean, if we get to the quarterfinals, actually, no, but if we get out of the group, we've got six games in the group. My maths let me down very badly there for a moment. So how do we see this game tomorrow night, Olympiacos? Mark?
Well, they've won all three of their opening games.
Right.
Haven't conceded a goal.
Oh, my God.
They beat Volos 5-0 at the weekend, but they did come through the qualifies. We should
be of a different standard, really.
I think it sets the tone. I think, like I said, this week sort of sets the tone for the season. We've got the league looking more positive, and now you start the Champions League with an away win in a tricky match. They're probably, let's be honest, on paper they shouldn't be as good as us. But you know, from what you read about both of the other games out of Bayern, the away games are tough, atmosphere, all that kind of thing. It's a big, massive match for them. So I think if you come through that with an away win, it's like the other year when we won the group, it just started, I think, didn't we beat Dortmund in the first game? I can't remember what it was. Where we just cruised the group. And it's just because you get that first game under the belt. Whilst last year, albeit we got through, because we didn't...
It was a hell of a struggle.
We didn't make a great start. So I think if we can set the tone with a win tomorrow, then I think... I just see us going through in that group.
Yeah, we certainly should do, yeah. I mean, have you seen... the team news is slightly odd, isn't it? As I was saying earlier, according to the newspapers, Aurier and Rose are being left behind. I didn't say why. Maybe they're resting them up for the Leicester game.
I think, if I'm honest, that's the game that's the more difficult game at the moment. I obviously hope we get the best result tomorrow on Wednesday. But it's recoverable from, even if we get a draw or if it goes the other way. All the good stuff from the weekend, if we go to Leicester and it doesn't happen for us, we lose that momentum, and Leicester is the team, obviously, everyone's saying that there is a threat.
It's snapping at the heels.
So I think, and obviously we know that with Poch, we're at our best when the full-backs have got energy and are getting forwards. So I think that's the reason. As for Olympiacos, I think we'll know. We know with Spurs, don't we? In the first 5 or 10 minutes, will we go there and be right on it, like Nathan's saying, put a marker down, have the attackers really closing down and get a goal in the first 15 minutes and show what we're about? Or will we go, sometimes we go away and we look like we think we're better than we are, and we start playing it very slowly at the back, very deliberate build-up, and we draw them on, and it's like we think that we're the aristocrats and that it's just going to happen for us. And I think we'll tell within the first 10 minutes which type of Spurs performance it's going to be.
Do you think he said he wanted to be creative? That was the word he used with his selection. So how do we see that going? There are certain positions where there are no options. So for instance, in central defence, unless Sanchez is back fit, I don't really know if he is or not.
I think he has travel.
So if he travels, he would play presumably with one of Alderweireld.
With Jan, because Jan missed the first couple of games.
Okay. Yeah. Good point. Yeah. Okay, and then Jan's left-sided, and Davis. And Sanchez could play right side. Davis on the left. Maybe Walker-Peters hopefully is fit.
Well, you just hope you don't get injuries there, because if they've left the other two at home, then I'm not sure who's coming on.
You've got no full-back cover at all, although I was thinking Dyer can just about fit.
Well, that's,
Jan could go left, Dyer could go right, or Alderweireld could go right.
Yeah.
But they never seem to do that with Alderweireld, do they? They never make him play fullback, even in the most difficult circumstances. Then in the midfield, I wonder if it's an opportunity to give Dyer a run out in midfield.
Yes.
And Ndombele
should come in.
Yeah, and Ndombele, actually start him. Yeah, starting with Dyer as a sort of minder, that might make a lot of sense. Yeah, and then you've got Wanyama on the bench.
Lucas hasn't had much football.
Yeah,
definitely play Lucas.
Yeah.
Maybe...
Never rest Kane.
He'd never rest Kane. Kane is going to start. So we know
another,
that.
Another two behind. Ali comes in.
That's what I was thinking. Give Ali a start. Give Lucas a start. And then play Lamella, because God forbid he plays against Leicester.
I think he's definitely going to rest Sonny.
I think
rest Sonny, play Lamella. Yeah. But Sonny will probably come on. But, I mean, you know, if needs be later on.
We'll be either for Kane or
Lamella. But if we're off over there, well, Kane will bring off if we're winning towards the end, won't he? Lamella. I mean,
did great the week.
Hey, did well. Do you think he did well?
Well, I'm being provocative. I'm not his biggest detractor. I thought he played okay. What he's good at, and you know what he's frustrating
at. Okay, but ask me this, right? I like Lamella. Everyone knows that. But if you're Dele Alli and Lucas Moura and you're sitting on the bench and Lamella's starting, wouldn't you be scratching your head a bit?
Well, he's starting for a reason, isn't he?
What is it?
I don't know, to get in there, niggle people, put himself about.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
he's one of the best pressers. If you look at it, without the ball, he's a very strong presser.
Yeah. Do you think... Maybe I've always been a bit down on him because I've always expected him to be not that type of player, basically. When we signed him, we thought he was going to be... He was the Bale replacement, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's not in that, but he's not in that category. But he's hard-working.
He works hard. He's got a job. Pops up, gets the odd goal.
Yeah, absolutely.
He can finish.
You don't know what he's quite going to do, and I think that's defenders don't quite know what he's going to do.
I think he's got a very good mindset in the sense that I don't think he feels overawed by any occasion and any team we come up against. Obviously, we see with the City goal. And I think that's quite nice. Remember Danny Rose 3 years ago said they went out for dinner and, you know, what's going to happen? And Lamella said, no, we can win the league. Mm. And I think it's nice to have people in and around the squad who are like that.
And I like, do you know what? We criticise players and we love them. And 1 minute, like you say, all through this fight, how long has he been here? 6 years? At least, quite a long time. And he's had his ups and downs.
As long as Ericsson.
He has never... shown anything but 100% attitude for me, and a great attitude.
Yeah,
right?
He's never gone missing.
The ownership and the frustrations that we know he gives stupid fouls away, and he doesn't quite.
Yeah.
All the things that you get frustrated, you cannot criticise his effort and work. Right?
I suppose that's why, in a way, that's the last thing we thought we were getting. We thought we were going to get an artist who might be a bit mercurial, a bit on and off, but would do amazing things. The Rabona was actually turned out to be the only amazing thing.
Well, because he hasn't got a right foot.
I mean, I was trying to not talk about that, but he is literally the most one-footed player I've ever seen.
Hence the Rabona.
Exactly. Only a one-footed player needs a Rabona. But even yesterday, on Saturday, when he played pretty well first off, but he played quite an important pass, didn't he, in the build-up to one of the goals. I can't remember which one
outside
it was.
Outside of the left foot.
Because you almost looked at him, it was almost like he had some sort of disability that he could not play the pass with his right foot. And he had to almost contort his body and play the pass with his left foot when there was nothing natural about playing it with his left foot. Having said all that, it was a good pass.
Yeah.
It started the move and the goal, you know, and he scored the goal. But he is one-footed. It's almost perverse the extent to which he is one-footed.
Often, his first touch takes him in exactly the direction opposite to you, to the way when you're watching, you think you want him to go.
Yes,
I think, as I say, he's unorthodox. I think that's what
unorthodox.
Sometimes
that's what he is.
Sometimes works for him.
He's unorthodox. I mean, a bit like, I suppose, that Steve Smith, the batsman. He's unorthodox, isn't he? But anyway.
just bringing Palace back, just a word for Andros Townsend, because I was thinking it's very, very rare that you have a fan of another Premier League club playing for a Premier League club so openly. Normally, like Harry Maguire might go back and watch Hull or Sheffield United.
Yeah.
Or if you're playing abroad, you come back and watch a team. But for someone to be so openly a Spurs fan and be, you know, a top player at another Premier League club, I think that's quite remarkable.
Yeah.
And I believe he was in tears after the game at the Tottenham Stadium. You know, it's such
a big thing. This one on Saturday?
No, the one, such a big thing for him.
Yeah.
And just wanted to,
note
that.
Fair play to him. Yeah, good man.
And he got done by Lamella, didn't he, 3 years ago?
The nutmeg.
Yeah.
I was remembering that on Saturday as well. Oh, dear. That was unfortunate, wasn't it? Still. Okay, so Leicester. I agree with you, Dan. Leicester is, in a way, a bigger game. Well, in almost every way, it's a bigger game. You could lose against Olympiacos and still get through, couldn't you? Leicester are one of three or four teams who look capable of threatening the top six. The others, for me, are Wolves, Everton and West Ham. Don't laugh. Mm.
If we could...
I'm not convinced on the others.
Okay, so you think Leicester are definitely the ones?
I say they're the strongest team, yeah.
If it's Leicester, then, as you say, this is a big game. They were a bit slightly disappointing at the weekend at Manchester United, weren't they? But they'll be at home. This will be a different thing.
Yeah. I don't know if that's good or bad, if it's put a knock in their confidence.
You never, ever know. But the one thing about Leicester is they've always been, since they've been a good side and when they won the league and everything, they've really been a counter-attacking team because they have Vardy, who's like a... And Vardy, by all accounts, has come alive since... Like every good manager, Rodgers has turned up and thought... I'm not going to be stupid about this. I'm going to get the best. I'm going to work out what's best about this team, and I'm going to play according to what's best.
And I think he is a good manager.
He is a good manager. You'd have to accept that. I mean, everything he achieved, he's got a great CV. Mm. He's a good manager. Mm. So apparently, Vardy's scoring rate has gone right up again, right back up to his peak level since Rodgers turned up, which suggests, because I don't watch him week in, week out, needless to say, but the suggestion that would suggest to me that they play largely on the break. And they're at home, you know, to a big team. So I wonder if that's what we think will happen. And if so, how will we counter that?
Well, who's replaced Maguire for them?
Well, they've got this guy. What's his name? I heard a Leicester fan on the radio. Yeah, the Turkish guy, who they're raving about. Yeah. They say he's very, very good. He's got the lot. He's a proper defender, good in the air, very quick, and good on the ball as well, brings the ball. So in other words, similar to Maguire.
They're one of these teams that's more than the sum of their parts. They've gone back to being that sort of team again. And I think it's obviously a dangerous game. I guess I'll take comfort in that we've got a reasonably good record there from memory.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if we go and play like we did on Saturday, I think we'll get at least a point and maybe more. I think for us, the key, you touched on it, I think, is when we give the opposition teams time to settle into a game, we don't really tend to pick it up from there. We've got to start bright.
Front foot.
And it was the first time we'd seen it in a while against Palace. And I think that's really got to be the way we go forward. It's how Liverpool do it. I think it's when City are at the best, it's how they do it.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what it got to go with the home way. You know, I think we've got a really bad away record at the moment. So I think we've got to...
It's an interesting conundrum, though, isn't it? Because they're the type of team that likes to play on the break.
Yeah.
You could argue that is playing into their hands. But fortune favours the brave. Because, as you say, the alternative is to go in a bit kind of cautious and a little bit, you know, lacking in energy, and then that can all unravel, can't it? Difficult one.
It's a massive challenge, and I think one of the things that Poch will be thinking about and be particularly aware of is the 12:30 kickoff element of it. You know, when
having
you're playing
come back from
away
Greece
on a Wednesday night, and that's so it comes back.
There's a lot of conspiracy theorists out there saying that would never happen to Liverpool and Man City,
but it rotates, doesn't it?
We're going to play on a Wednesday and a Monday possibly. Yeah,
that was our first Saturday 3 o'clock at home for...
I know, I couldn't believe it. Yeah, it felt really quite odd.
Just on the Leicester front, they're the team, the squad, that I would want most players from.
Who do you want?
Well, both fullbacks. I really, really rate both fullbacks.
Chilwell
and Pereira, who we wanted, but I think it was third-party ownership we couldn't get.
Right.
Obviously, then you've got Maddison, and then both Harvey Barnes and Damari Gray are interesting.
Yeah.
And obviously, Vardy would be, you know, if we could have him, you know, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Obviously, unlikely. But and Tielemans.
Tielemans, yeah.
And we're not looking for a keeper, but I like Schmeichel's personality. I feel they've got some really good individuals there.
Yeah, it's interesting because they are more than the sum of their parts, but the parts aren't bad either.
No.
That's the thing.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah.
But Vardy had that incredible, you know, well, the title season, you know, he had Mahrez.
Yeah, he must be
big behind him.
And he also had Conte doing all the work.
Conte, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what a threesome, bloody hell. They were all top class players, weren't they?
You know, Madison's good, but he's not up in that league, I don't think.
You what?
Madison's good, but he's not up in that league of Conte and Mahrez.
No, but he's still young, and he could. I mean, right now, which is all we care about because we're playing him on Saturday. But I agree with you. But he looks like he's got potential to become good. I mean, he could be an Eriksen replacement for us, couldn't he?
We could have signed him years ago. He was never.
He openly said he didn't want to come though.
Did he?
Yeah,
I'll go anywhere, but not Tottenham.
And there was There was some... I'm just been looking.
What, is he a gooner?
Norwich, Norwich got rid of Madison. They didn't fancy Edwards when he was on loan. And they also sold Pritchard very quickly after we sold them. And I've been thinking for 18 months, who the hell have they got coming through to give them the confidence to get rid of all that?
Yeah.
And it's Todd Cantwell, isn't
it?
Oh,
right. Yeah.
He's apparently very really,
nifty.
Yeah.
Very technical.
Yeah. So that's why they let them all go.
We need Winksy to be to set the tone in the midfield. Look, you know, have a look out for Madison, and he's you know, he's one of those players who fans of other clubs don't get, and who we love.
I love Winks.
Yeah,
I get him.
He gets, and so hopefully he'll be the one who will get around Madison, start getting the tempo going.
Yeah, Winks is that great wind double of it, and there aren't many of them around. Who is a proper good, industrious engine room midfielder who can also really pass the ball, can't he? He's a proper footballer.
Yeah, I think
as well.
Simplicity is key to his game.
Yeah, I mean he's you know, I think he's potentially like a Michael Carrick kind of player. Yeah. He can be that good as a footballer, and we know he's got all the industry, and he gets stuck in and all that. I think he's
Newcastle
fantastic.
Though was the biggest sideways display I've seen for many years.
He is accused of the old Vinny sideways.
And I think he's although he made a great ball, through ball for one of the goals
on Saturday. Yeah,
fantastic.
He's capable
but
of
his
it.
First instinct is to turn back.
Yeah,
it's got
Parker
like. No, I think he's obviously better than that, but that's his tendency perhaps when it's not.
Yeah, I mean, he is in the mould of Sam Ways and Ray Wilkins and people like that, and maybe Poch needs to encourage him to pass forward more because he's perfectly capable of it.
Yeah, but I think the times when he doesn't, I don't think the movement sometimes not on.
Yeah, I agree.
He plays a simple
he's
pass
very
really
much
well,
about,
so if that simple pass isn't on, he's got nowhere.
You know, we've all found ourselves in games where we're only 1-0 up or whatever, screaming, I have over the years, less in recent years for obvious reasons, but screaming, get it and keep it. Get it and keep it. And that is what he is all about. Yeah. He can get it and he can keep it. He's not going to give it away hardly ever. And that's refreshing in his position.
Yeah, and he's getting a bit more edge. Yeah. Which I like in that position.
Yeah.
And obviously a lot of talk at the moment about playing the ball out from the back. He's always happy to accept the ball.
Yeah.
And I think he's got a really good personality. And, you know, we have two or three of those homegrown players in the side. When you're going away on a Saturday morning, you need that kind of hunger.
I agree. He's great.
The playing out the back thing wasn't as much against Palace. Because it's been terrifying a few times this season.
We saw Arsenal do it so well on Sunday.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, we should actually. Sunday. I was just go to predictions, but before we do, we've got to pay tribute to the Arse. I mean, they never let you. I was at my mum's. I go to my mum's on a Sunday for a Sunday lunch. My brothers go and everything. And it got to that. I was watching. She has Sky, so we can all watch a football at her house. Half time came, I actually was up. Sod this, I'm going home. I can't. There's nothing worse than watching Arsenal cruise to a victory over inferior opposition on a Sunday afternoon. I got in the car and I thought, no, I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to put the cricket on. Got home. Well, bloody brilliant. They'd done it again. And I didn't even know the extent of it until I saw the goals. Absolutely brilliant comedy Arsenal performance. Yeah. Loved it. And apparently, who was it he said in the interview? One of them said afterwards, we were scared in the second half.
Xhaka, yeah. he looked terrified in the interview. But he said he was still scared in the interview.
Oh, my God. I mean, they are an absolute shambles.
They got battered, though. They got well and truly battered second half.
Oh, it
wasn't just the two goals.
Mark, you actually look, because you watched it, because you actually look like you're actually a bit sad and I shouldn't be laughing.
I sat there with my wife, who doesn't know that much about football. I mean, she knows I support
Spurs
and
I
disappear for several months of the year.
Yeah.
But we sat there and she watched it as if it was Casualty or something. She absolutely loved it. Absolutely loved it, yeah.
Oh, because it's so gruesome.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Well, thank you, Arsenal. We would like to say thank you very much to the goons, and long may this continue, this shambolic stuff. So... I think it's probably time for us to do our predictions, lads. Unless there's anything you'd like to add that I've missed out on. Mark, you're consulting your notes.
Oh, yeah, I've got some notes. The Olympiakos owner, Evangelos Marinakis.
Vangelis.
Owns Nottingham Forest.
Does he?
Yeah.
A cheeky sod.
Yeah. Anyway, 3-1 Spurs.
That's the Greek game?
Yeah.
Okay. Nathan?
2-1.
Dan?
I'm going to go for a draw tomorrow. Okay. In Olympiacos, yeah, I'm not confident that we're seeing that as the priority. Yeah. So I say 1-1.
Okay. Mm. I could see us winning there 2-0. I don't know. I just feel very absurdly optimistic, but I am very often over-optimistic. So the Leicester game, Mark?
I'll take a draw, but I think we'll win.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. I think 2-1 at Leicester.
2-1 at Leicester. Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to go for a draw on that one. 1-1.
Yeah. 1-1.
Goals, 3-2, Tottenham.
Mm. Is it on the... It's on the telly. Yeah, it's 12:30. Yeah. Of course it is, yeah.
Not sure I could take that.
No, that could be a bit of a roller coaster ride. I could see us drawing there, yeah. I could see us drawing there. Maybe the old Desmond 2-2, I think, for me. Okay.
But man, top of the prediction league, that's...
Yeah, take it from me, lads. Yeah. I'm rarely wrong. Famous, that's it. That'll be me sliding down the league now for certain. Well, that's it then, I think. Anyone got anything they want to plug? Got a new book out, Dan?
No, not since February. Looking forward to Bayern Munich. That's been the one that I've been waiting for that we haven't come across.
The big club that we've not played before. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. I just got my tickets yesterday.
Same.
Well, you got anything?
Oxted
live dates?
Oxted Theatre, Saturday night.
Brilliant.
Oxted in Surrey.
Okay.
Sold out.
Oh, great. Well, what are we supposed to do about that?
Well, Yeah.
Are there special hospitality packages?
I might be able to get some.
You might be able to get special Spurs show.
Yes, yeah.
If you say Spurs show, he might be able to get you in.
I'll get you in, green room.
Love it.
Okay.
Tempting, but it's Oxted in Surrey.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We're done then. Dan, Nathan, Mark, thank you all very much for coming in. And this is Theo Delaney signing off saying, "Get with you, Spurs."
On this date, January the 22nd, 2008, having drawn the first leg 1-1
against Tottenham. On this date, January the 20th, 1951.
On this day, January the 14th, 1978, a John Pratt.
On this date, January the 17th, 1968, Martin Chivers makes his debut for Spurs.
If you're interested in the history, landmarks, and great achievements of the football club we hold dear, you'll love On This Day.
And White Hart Lane erupts. Jimmy Greaves equalises on the stroke of half-time.
Aaron Lennon scores a fourth. Tottenham embark on a 19-game unbeaten run. On this day, a daily mini-series dedicated exclusively to memorialise great Spurs days gone by. Exclusively available at patreon.com/spursshow.
Jimmy Greaves equalises on the stroke of half-time.
John Pratt brace at a con.
January the 17th, 1968. Patreon.com/Spurs.
Aaron Lennon scores a fourth. Tottenham embark on a 19-game unbeaten run.
1951, Martin Chivers makes his debut for Spurs. Top of the league and White Hart Lane erupt.
1978, 2008.
1951, 1968. Patreon.com/Spurs.
This is a Playback Media production. Get all the associated links for this podcast at spursshow.net.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.